Well, family, how many of you have ever dealt with pain, setbacks, suffering, trials, frustrations, disappointments, and the like? Anybody? Or for planners like me, all of those are rolled into one when things don't go according to plan. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And yet, even in the midst of things like this, things that we must all deal with on an almost daily basis, God is good and He is faithful. Let me share a story with you. This last week, I had the week off of preaching, which means I was not doing normal sermon preparation and study throughout the week as I usually do, but rather I was focused on other things. And then some things came up, as they often tend to do, and I found out late Thursday night that I was preaching this morning. With everything else that goes on into getting ready for service, most of which is largely unseen, there just was not enough time to prepare a typical sermon. And it's not like I can just reach out and pull an old sermon out of the hat, because every sermon that I have ever preached has been here. And so in light of all that we've been talking about recently as it pertains to God's sovereign providence, I felt it would be good to share with you some of my process, namely how I responded to this change in plans with the Lord and how He led me. And I'm not sharing this to toot my own horn, but rather to commend to you this method and process. Also, I believe that God is asking me to be a visible testimony to what I have been preaching. The reality is that this is what everyday life looks like. Things rarely go perfectly according to our plans. And therefore, the way we respond to these types of situations is key. It's not about having a life that's so perfect and so structured that there's never any pain or suffering or frustrations or disappointments or undesired changes to the plan. It's about walking with the Lord closely and being sure to respond with Him, gaining His perspective and plan, and then allowing Him to lead us well so that we don't simply react in the flesh. When I found out about this change of plans, I was busy with my family. And so I just started praying. The rest of my evening was sprinkled in prayer and supplication about how to proceed. And then later that evening, after we got Addie down, I went to my office, I sat down at my computer, and I asked God to just share with me His plan. "What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm a vessel for you." Initially, I didn't seem to get anywhere. But after a little while, it was like God just dumped on me and I started writing. And from my perspective, He couldn't have made it more clear what He wanted to do and why He wanted to do it this way. I know that His plans are best, even when I don't agree with them. But I agreed with Him. This really was best. And as such, He totally changed my attitude and my countenance, and He made me very excited to share all that He has for us this morning. So get ready. And my prayer, one of my many prayers this morning, has been that my excitement over these things will be caught by you. I pray that you will be excited by the things that God is going to share this morning. And so in summary, rather than reacting emotionally in the flesh and getting more frustrated and more aggravated, I met with God and I responded with him, being sure to gain his perspective and his thoughts, not allowing my own heart to lead the way. And he was so good and faithful to me, as he always is. And family, I know I can't just somehow impart all the ways God has done this over the years, but this is not a first. And God always comes through. Sometimes emergency situations just happen during the week that leave almost no time for sermon preparation. And by his grace, God has always, and I mean every single time, been faithful to bring something together. I mean, he is just amazing. Amen? And so when I was making notes about what I believe God wanted me to do, I believe the general aim that he had for me was threefold. Number one, I am to be a living testimony by sharing some of what this, some difficult providence stuff looks like in real life. Practice what I preach. Respond, not react. And then share how good and how gracious and how faithful God was when I honored this approach that he has given us in his word. That's number one. Number two, I'm to share a sort of state of the union of our church, sharing why I personally believe that the church is currently in one of the best places that it has ever been, and share many examples of God's goodness and faithfulness to our church and to our family that you may or may not be aware of. And number three, the aim is that God would be made much of as a result. I remember telling Rachel on Thursday night, I can't do this. If it's up to me to get it done, it's not going to happen. I am not able to pull this off. But God is. God can. And from my perspective, even though I don't love this, God sometimes enjoys putting me in situations like this that require me to depend on him in unusual ways so that it is crystal clear that he gets all the glory. Amen. Not some of it, not most of it. He gets all of it. Amen? Amen. And so the aim this morning is that you see how good and how faithful God has been and is currently being through a number of examples, and even the fact that this very message is happening right now, this completely unplanned message. And then you draw near to him and enjoy him and praise him and worship him and glorify him all the more. Amen. Well, I have shared in recent weeks with a few of the people who are closest to me that I believe our church is in one of the best places that it has ever been, at least in my nearly 6 years here. And it's key that we realize that this has not happened through ease and comfort, but quite the opposite. This past year has been difficult. It's been difficult everywhere, but all the more here in Panama. We've dealt with unprecedented government control, societal and economic lockdowns, unreasonable health measures and restrictions on worship. We've dealt with isolation, loneliness, and separation from friends and family. We've had a number of freedoms and liberties and comforts and conveniences that we once held dear and probably took for granted, stripped from us. We've seen the enemy at work and his desire to destroy the church through any means necessary. And we are seeing his blatant attempts now to divide the church the body of Christ over non-essential things like masks and distancing and vaccines and so forth right before our eyes. If the enemy has his way, there will not be a church for much longer. But we are committed to resisting his wicked temptations, his deliberate misrepresentations of the truth, and his all-out warfare against us. Amen? Amen? And so while this last year has been difficult in ways that are perhaps new to many of us, God hasn't gone anywhere. And here you'll begin to see a brief tie-in from our most recent series on providence. God has continued to be with us. And the words of David in Psalm chapter 23 are even more relevant and potent to us today than before, not less. And I'm going to read this in just a moment, and I provided it for you on your handout. And as I read this psalm, I want you to see at least a couple of things. I want you to see a dozen things, but I want you to see at least a couple of things. Number one, God's unstoppable providence. In other words, I want you to see that God is the decisive cause of what David speaks about in this psalm. And number two, I want you to see how God is pursuing his own glory and the reality that this is synonymous with David's joy in him. Seeing these two things beneath the surface greatly affect how we understand God's goodness and faithfulness. So listen as I read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Where is this heading? Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God has been relentlessly pursuing us with goodness and mercy. He has never stopped. And he is doing this, as verse 3 says, for his namesake. He showers us with goodness and mercy and grace. He's faithful even when we are faithless, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Every single day without ceasing. Imagine this. I had someone email me this week, not from this church, but someone who's considering becoming a part of the church, and ask me if God was loving and gracious and merciful toward the unsaved, even, for example, the most wicked of them all. And my answer was yes. Jesus tells us that the sun comes up on the godly and the ungodly. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. The reality that any of us are still breathing after the treasonous, rebellious things that we have thought or said or done over the years is only owing to God's grace and mercy and goodness. Amen. Life has been challenging, but God has never stopped doing good to us, undeserved good, not even for one millisecond. Praise God! And so let me give you 11 examples of what some of this goodness and faithfulness has looked like in our church recently, as God has pursued us with goodness and mercy every day. Number one, our landlord. I hope some of you pray for our landlord, because God has richly blessed us with a nice young woman who is so grateful to have us as tenants. Our relationship has always been great, and she's even been doing more things to fix some things around here over the last year or so. Not only that, but God has blessed us with the rent that we pay here. We pay a modest rent compared to some other places, and God has definitely kept it on the lower end of what would be expected. Our landlord has always been happy with us as tenants, thrilled that we always pay on time and that she can count on it. And on top of all that, she even gave us a slight reduction in rent during the worst of the COVID lockdown and restrictions last year. Praise God, through our landlord, and it's key that we see it this way, it's not just our landlord, but through our landlord, God has been nothing short of good and faithful. Amen? In this instance, our landlord has been the vessel of his goodness and his faithfulness. Number two, our church has remained open. The sad reality is that many, if not most, churches around here have closed, even predominantly expat ones. I've seen a number of churches and ministries come and go over the years, but God has been good and he has been faithful to us. And I believe that there are reasons for that that we will get into later. But for now, the reality that we have been able to remain open through all of this COVID mess has been nothing short of a miracle. Praise God. Number three, church finances. While we are still in the hole right now, it doesn't compare to the last several years. In fact, I haven't seen a net positive on the year or at any point during the year since 2016, and we were at a net positive in April. Which shows to me that despite the church dramatically shrinking in size over the last year or so, God has given many of you a generous heart and a desire to give to the local church. This is God's plan, clearly laid out in the Old Testament and the New Testament for the support of the church. One would have expected that last year and this year would be among the worst years that we've ever had. And while we were down significantly last year, as most of you know, we ended the year many times better than we expected. God has been good and he has provided. Amen. Number four, ministry. Oh, I could preach a sermon on this one. And oh, how much there is to say about ministry. One of the unique things about our church is that we get people from all over the world, predominantly from North America, who have a heart for missions. Many of you have moved down here with plans to be involved in missions and in ministry in some form or another. You're at a stage in life where you can more freely get plugged into the mission field and answer the call and the burden that God has placed on your hearts well. Which means that we have a lot of people here who are mission-oriented and ministry-minded. Praise God. This is a wonderful thing, even if logistically challenging at times. However, during the heat of COVID, much of this changed or stopped altogether for a short season. Now, from my perspective, this has the capacity to do one of two things. Either you respond with God to the change, gaining his perspective and redirection, or Your whole world collapses and is turned upside down because all you ever knew was the busyness of ministry. I personally know ministries who have gone both ways. But to my knowledge, every ministry that is associated with our church is still around and functioning. And there's 6 or 8 of these ministries at least. And I hope that we can do a mission Sunday again later this year, which showcases these. Many of you took a much needed breather. You relaxed and recuperated, and you pursued God's redirection with humility. Some of you realize that it's not about being busy and doing lots of stuff, but it's just about following God day by day, week by week, with whatever He has for you, even unexpected things. I have watched God change the focus of many of your ministries for a season, and you have obediently followed Him to the best of your ability. The difficulties that we have gone through have tried many who are involved in ministry. And from my perspective, many of you have come out the other end more refined by the fire. Praise God. He's been so good to the various ministries in this church. He has provided, He has redirected, He has richly blessed, and He has shown His mercy and goodness and faithfulness clearly. God is good. Amen. Number 5, our translation ministry. I don't know how many of you know the difficulties that we have been experiencing and how close we have come to not having any translation at all. Early last year, Daryl was our only translator. Then as he left to pursue what God had for him and his family, Noelia became our only translator. Then early this year, she's been dealing with some things that have prevented her from translating. Daryl came in to help some, and Bob Silva pursued half a Cherokee, it seemed like, in an attempt to find a translator that we could hire, but no one, none of the professionals, no one would do simultaneous translation the way we do it right here. It's just too difficult. Then, in God's perfect and, I dare say, last-minute timing, He provided Nilavet, the young lady from YWAM who plays the cajon when they're here. She did fantastic. But then we switched to Saturdays because of Sunday lockdown, a day that Daryl nor YWAM can attend. All of a sudden, I'm preparing an announcement that translation is officially on hold until we get back to Sundays, when Tammy feels prompted by God to give it a try. She knows Spanish well, but has never tried the simultaneous translation on Sundays, or Saturdays in this case. And praise be to God, today is Tammy's 3rd time, and she's done absolutely fantastic. Here's the fun part. She has shared, probably with several of you and with me, the testimony of how God has made it much easier than she ever imagined it would be, and how He just miraculously brings the word to mind and enables her to translate. God is working powerfully through our translation ministry, and He alone has kept it together and provided the right people at the right time. He's so good. Amen? Amen? And His ways often don't work for this planner. Number 6, our brother Jerry. Most of you probably know this, but some of you probably do not. A few weeks ago, Jerry was walking the dog and he felt his heart rate unusually elevated. When he got home and had Lee test it, it was something like 220 over 110. If I remember correctly. I know that's not right, but that was close. It was insanely high. His heart was about to beat out of his chest. So he went to the doctor, and he found out that he had a complication with his heart that could be deadly if not treated as soon as possible. Shortly thereafter, he was able to fly to the States, and last week he had surgery, and he is doing much better and recovering well. Praise God. Jerry could have legitimately dropped dead while walking the dog. But once again, God's goodness prevailed. Surely, goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our lives. Amen? Number 7, our intercessory prayer team. Oh, how I wish you were all a part of the team and knew the details that must remain confidential. And while I can't share most of these details, what I can share is that God is answering the prayers of our team, and he is doing so powerfully. Amen. A couple of months ago, when Daryl was helping us translate more, he was overwhelmed and behind with work. So he asked us to pray for his productivity at work, that in spite of taking time away from work to come help us and minister to us, that God would enable him to accomplish everything on time. It's almost like the Sabbath principle. It carries timeless wisdom and instruction and even blessing, I believe, when we honor it. For those of us who are very busy, taking a day off seems impossible. And yet, when we truly follow God and make him number one, he is so good to work out all the details. So similarly with Daryl, when our team started praying for his productivity and Daryl followed God by helping us translate for a few weeks, he reported that not only did he have the most productive day of work that he has ever had since he started working with this company, completing literally 2 times what he normally would have completed in a day, but he then went on to report having had the most productive week, where that same trend continued. He accomplished in 1 week that which normally took 2 weeks to do. Obviously, this is just a very small snapshot, but many are praying, and God is powerfully coming through and answering these prayers. And many of you in this room can testify to this. God is so good. And if that doesn't encourage you to send your prayer requests to Tammy, I don't know what will. And Tammy, thank you for your sacrificial leadership in this ministry. What a blessing she is. Amen. Amen. Number 8, again, from my perspective, this is a huge one. From my perspective, God has been faithful in the sanctification process of this church family. Our body is maturing. Has anyone noticed this? We rarely have petty feuds or major divisions on non-essentials. This alone is virtually unheard of, let alone in a non-denominational church made up of people from all over the world. Our people are committed. You want to be here. You long to gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ and to love on one another and study the Bible and so on. A number of you want to go even deeper and you attend our weekly Bible studies on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Furthermore, you have been flexible. While lockdowns and curfews have been frustrating, you have not ignored the clear command to not forsake the assembly. And all the more as we see the day drawing near. The day, family, is drawing near. And you're honoring the Lord with your commitment and your desire to be here. Not just a rigid works-based commitment, but a desire to be here and your flexibility to make the gathering a priority no matter the day. You've been flexible and you've been faithful. Now, before your heads swell too big, let me just say, this is not primarily because you are all so great and awesome. Y'all are wonderful people. But by our very nature, we are not flexible and we are not faithful. So here's the key. God Himself has done this work in us. And it is a testimony to His own faithfulness to sanctify us over time and to transform us more and more into the image of His Son. To literally, as Hebrew puts it, to work within us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. He has done this and He is doing this. Amen?
Amen.
And by and large, we aren't a divisive people on one side of the aisle or discussion or the other. We aren't cliquey. We don't exclude people. By and large, we are a welcoming body of believers who love God and love people. And it is such a blessing to be a part of a church family like this. And let me be clear, when I say welcoming, I don't mean tolerant. Like, we're just tolerant of all behaviors and lifestyles and sin, and that's why we all get along. No. We hold to the truth of the word, and we collectively come against sin. And the church family still gets along and is unusually welcoming. That is why it's so incredible. Over and over, family, I have heard from guests and from new people how they felt welcomed by this church family and how they were included. We're not content to see someone sitting alone and just leave them there. We engage others and we involve others and we exude the love of Christ to His glory. Amen? This truly is a church unlike any other, and God gets all the credit. Number 9. God has been faithful to develop me into the pastor that I am and into the pastor that I am still becoming. God has given me a love for you and a strong desire to lead you and to teach you and to protect you and to shepherd you well. I am by no means perfect. But He has given me a burden for your very soul and a strong desire to remain faithful to the word, no matter the cost. If you've been with us for any length of time, you know that we do not shy away from uncomfortable topics or confusing passages. We tackle them head on, and we let God the Spirit do what He does best. Amen? God has truly knit us together in a real family-like fashion. And from my perspective, it's nothing short of miraculous. How does a 30-year-old pastor shepherd a church which is made up of mostly a family that is much older than him? And not only that, God has enabled this not simply to work, but to work well. We get along, we love one another, we enjoy spending time together, and so forth. God has truly done a miracle to make this situation work phenomenally well. Amen?
Amen.
And I long to remain with you as long as God allows, and I am legitimately thrilled to see what this church will look like in a few more years. Which leads to point number 10. Number 10, God is currently bringing people down here, has been doing this lately, and is doing this in the future, bringing people down here that are mature, gifted, and able to serve in ways where we need help. Even in the face of all the problems and restrictions and inconveniences and so forth, God is still bringing people here. And he's still connecting people to our church. And not just random believers who have no sure footing, but people who know and love God deeply and want to serve him and honor him and know him more. This reality has had me excited for some time now. And I know that God will continue to do this and continue to provide for us however he sees best. He's so good and he's so faithful. Amen? And lastly, number 11. From my perspective, God has given us a newfound appreciation for the body, for gathering, for church in person, and for fellowship. I really believe that God has done this in us. When I get together with the family of God, when we pray together and break bread together, there's just a sweetness to it, one that was perhaps taken for granted in times past. I just love being around people who love God. It's why I love being here with you on a Saturday morning. And it's not just me. It's you guys. Because many of you have shared this exact same heart and desire with me privately. God has brought us together and given us an affinity for one another, not because anyone here is so wonderful or attractive or glorious or amazing, but because God himself is so wonderful and attractive and glorious and amazing. And he has united us all by his Spirit in radical pursuit of him. Amen. If I were to summarize this testimonial message, it would be to say that God is doing stuff. God is active. God is developing and growing and maturing his bride. He's knitting us closer together in his own Trinitarian unity, and he is constantly making himself known to us as good and faithful. Amen. My prayer is that after hearing what I truly believe is a drop in the bucket as it pertains to examples that could be shared here, after hearing this, my prayer is that you will see God's gracious and faithful activity with fresh eyes. I pray that you'll be inspired and excited about the work of God, the living God of the universe, and what he is doing right here among us. I pray that it gives you a desire to get more involved if you're not. God is doing stuff. Don't be content to sit on the sidelines. Be a part of it. And I pray that you look forward and pray for the future of our church with great anticipation and excitement for all that God has in store for us. God is gracious. God is faithful, and he will pursue us with goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I say it often and will never say it enough. You are so good to us. All we have to do is open our eyes and look around to see your unending goodness towards us. Not only do you lavish us with goodness and mercy, but you have been faithful. You have seen this church through ups and downs, easy times and tough times. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that you will do it again. I love being able to look back at your past goodness and faithfulness to bolster our own faith and confidence in you now in the present. We look to and see the massive reservoir of past grace in our lives and in our church, and it gives us confidence that the Niagara Falls of future grace will continue rushing toward us, moment by moment, day by day. And not only do we look back, but you are enabling us to see much of your activity and your goodness toward us even now in the present. And oh, what a faith stabilizer that is. Father God, I pray that you would go beyond this limited message and continue to press the realities of your goodness and faithfulness into the lives of everyone here and everyone listening. Take them further than I can ever take them. Blow them away with who you are and with what you've done and with what you are currently doing in their lives. I pray that you would give us newfound excitement about this church and this gathering and this family as we see your incredible goodness and faithfulness in and through this body. We love you, oh God, and it's in your most precious name that we pray. Amen.